From WNYC in New York, I'm Kurt Anderson. This time of year, we spend a lot of time in airports and dealing with all the airport hassles, too. The stocking feet security checks, long lines, flight delays, lousy in-flight movies. But not long ago, airports had a glamorous supporting role in our lives. The jet age was exciting.
The modern air terminal is designed for passenger convenience, with services available that help make air travel an integral part of the life of a nation on the go.
In February 1964, when the Beatles first touched down in America, they had their press conference fresh off the plane in front of the Pan Am logo at New York's brand new JFK Airport. In every city on their world tour that year, the airport was the venue for fan hysteria and the media circus.
No! Sorry.
Next question.
No, we need money first.
Today in Studio 360, we are looking at the cultural hows and whys of the airport, why they look the way they look, how they make us feel, their singular melting pot mix of glamour and banality, and what artists and writers and designers make of them. Joining me is Pico Iyer. He is 16 hours ahead, literally, tomorrow, in Japan, where he lives. He's a novelist and a journalist, and it has been said, just about the best travel writer working today. Pico Iyer, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, Pico, I guess I should confess that we've known each other a long time. We were writers together at Time magazine in the 1980s, and my recollection of what happened is that one day you just flew off on an assignment and just kept flying and never came back.
Well, and I think that's partly a reflection of the fact I've been flying since birth. I actually went to school by plane. I was born in England and my parents moved to California when I was 7 or 8. And such were the curiosities of the exchange rate between the pound and the dollar then that we worked out it was, in fact, cheaper for me to fly across the North Pole 3 times a year to boarding school in England and fly back to see my parents 3 times a year in California than just to go to the local private school. So really, before I could talk or walk almost, I was living on planes and they seemed a second home to me, to the point where settling down is the really difficult thing at this point.
At what age were you doing that round-the-world flight several times a year?
I started at 9 years old, and I think it was only a lot later that I realized that I was probably in the first generation of kids who were able to think of flying to school. And when I got to my English boarding school, many of the kids there had just flown from Lima or Buenos Aires or Hong Kong or Nairobi. All of us being kids, taking it for granted, and only much later realizing this is something that would have seemed the stuff of science fiction to our parents.
Really? I mean, didn't you put on the rocket pack and go to London for the day or something?
No, well, yeah, then it just seemed like taking a train, though I can still remember vividly the process of getting on the plane in 1960s California, revolution breaking out all around me, black light posters in the air, Jerry Garcia riffs in the background, getting onto this plane and arriving 10 hours later, more or less in the 15th century, which is where my English school was, and feeling myself in the course of those 10 hours, literally and almost imperceptibly to myself, changing my accent, changing my attitudes, changing myself so that the person who got off the plane would be a different person from the one who'd got on. And I think it was a good lesson to me in how the airplane and the airport is the kind of spiritual center of the double life. And it was also a good training in seeing how the airport is, as you were saying, a wonderful sanctuary, because when I would arrive in Heathrow Airport, it was probably the only place in my life where I was not under the jurisdiction of my parents and not under the jurisdiction of my school. And since what was awaiting me in my school were formidable, aged women ready to inflict corporal punishment on me and men who were even worse, I just spent as long as I could, sometimes 15 hours or more, in Heathrow Airport. And for a little 9-year-old boy at loose in the world, the airport seemed the very spiritual heart of everything exotic.
That sounds absolutely thrilling to me. I mean, I, you know, growing up in the middle of the country where a trip to an airport was literally like going to an amusement park or something because it was so exciting just to see planes landing. To be in an great international airport alone as a child must have been just astounding.
It was. I mean, amusement park is just the way to put it, sort of Tomorrowland and Fantasyland and Adventureland all at once.